In an article about a war in Ukraine, I found this very moving testimony that someone went and visited this museum. It's a new museum in Poland, where they've gathered objects as a way of honoring people who were deported to Siberia and who died, many, most of them, in terrible conditions under that weather and forced labor and starvation and all of that. So the person who was writing this article found this object, among the many others that were there, that was, again, particularly moving. And it was a rosary. A rosary made with a piece of string and with pieces of bread. And that's the interesting and important part. Because those prisoners, who many of them died of starvation under forced labor, they normally received only one not very generous portion of bread every day. So this prisoner, under those conditions, in that kind of deep suffering and darkness, thought that it was worth sacrificing some of that daily portion of bread to make a rosary, to find a way to, in a practical way, do that which we chanted in the entrance antiphon, to seek the face of the Lord. This is not just a nice story. This is actually a loving but very clear challenge for us who have plenty of bread and freedom. During Lent, we must work hard so that we can eliminate all those obstacles that for some reason have become part of our daily lives, that don't allow us to seek constantly the face of God. And so today, as every single year and for so many centuries, the Lord on the second Sunday of Lent gives us a glimpse of his glory. Whether our first days of Lent have been good or not, today we are renewed by contemplating the face of Christ, by seeing that glory, so that we can try to work even harder to grow closer to him. The transfiguration, this mystery that we remember and that we renew today, is such an important part of our faith. St. Gregory of Nazianzus, back then in the late 4th century, wrote something very interesting about the transfiguration. He said this: on the mountain, Christ became more luminous than the sun. Pay attention to this line. Initiating us into the mystery of the future. Initiating us into the mystery of the future. The transfiguration happened really for the future. In what sense? What God worked and prefigured in the Old Testament, all those great works through the prophets, everything really in the Old Testament, all of that was real and it did happen, but as a figure for that fulfillment that will come later through Christ in the New Testament. So what God did in the Old Testament, he fulfilled in the New Testament, but he continues today in the church. That same work, that same love, that same salvation. This is an extremely simple but important, decisive truth that we really need to believe, because it helps us understand, grasp in some way, the centrality of the sacraments, which are the ways in which God continues that very same work of salvation. This is also very important because it helps us to grasp why that transfiguration is so decisive for us today. We think about the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that the people of God saw the glory of God and heard his voice out of the fire at the mountain. That event was actually fulfilled in that other mountain, where the disciples heard the voice of the Father, saw the glory of Christ enshrined in a cloud of the Holy Spirit. That same event continues today in our midst. How? Where? Right here. Every Mass, every single Mass, is a transfiguration in which we come to the mountain of the altar. We hear God speaking to us, and we see His glory in the Eucharist. At the Transfiguration, the garments of Christ, we heard, became dazzling white. Just as a high priest would wear white garments for the sacrifice on the Feast of Expiation. In just a few minutes, Christ will assume the humble white garments of bread. We will see His glory enshrined by the cloud of incense, which makes us think about the Holy Spirit acting and present here. And we will hear in our hearts, if we're attentive, the Father saying to us, especially during the elevation, and we will actually chant that as we come for communion, "This is my beloved Son." So it is truly good that without any merit, we get to be here. However, as we know, many times we are like those disciples who were there in that impressive experience and were asleep. So many times we come to Mass and are asleep. Not necessarily in a physical way, although I've seen cases more than once. But especially in a spiritual way, we are here, but we're not here. We're distracted. Our hearts, our minds are somewhere else. We're here, but we don't see the glory of God. Thankfully, we can wake up. The disciples woke up and entered the cloud and saw the glory of God. So right now, the Lord is asking from us just that, to wake up spiritually, to forget, to choose to forget everything else, no matter how important it seems, to just pay attention. This is not complicated. This is not difficult. We choose to pay attention, to focus, to really be aware of what is taking place right now. God is coming here. He will show His faith in the sacrament, in the consecrated host. And it is completely up to us whether we will actually see His face and hear His voice. What God did in the Old Testament, He fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament, and He continues right now, right here. The Transfiguration pointed toward the future celebration of Mass. So it is really good that without any merit, we have been called to be here. May we simply appreciate this gift. May we be grateful for being here and seeing the glory of God coming to us, so close to us. May we welcome Him in our lives, and then with Him, we will have the strength to live a very fruitful Lenten season.